I'm going to do a rarity this morning. I'm jumping out of line upon line, verse upon verse, and I'm going to do a topical sermon this morning. Look, I don't do this except usually on Christmas and Easter. So we're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 6 this morning, and I'm leaving the book of Hebrews for at least a week. We'll go back there next week. But I think it's appropriate for us to glean, to learn the lessons of the Old Testament. And they can be as modern as our recent elections. Many of us Christians were disappointed in the outcome of the elections. We had come to believe that Trump, President Trump, was our deliverance from corrupt politics. At least I was. And although Trump is not a believer, he had policies, he had programs that aligned with Christian ethics. And Pence, his vice president, is a confessing believer. And what an encouragement to hear his testimony. I heard his testimony, and it was good to hear that our vice president is truly born again. But Trump came on the scene 4 years ago, and he captured the Republican nomination. And to my surprise, and I was surprised when he won the presidential election over Hillary Clinton, I was surprised, yet I had been praying for that. Trump is not a humble man, and not a man that I really admired at all. He's a New Yorker. What can I say? He's not a Christian, and he's arrogant, to say the least. And he was a man that I did not like on a personal basis. He was a man, to me, that was lifted up in pride. But my opinion of President Trump began to change as I saw him challenge the liberal press and the policies that he brought about as a president were commendable. And I found myself being pleased with this man and his policies. And I'm not alone in my support of Trump. You know, as a nation, we're almost divided 50-50. But Trump has many enemies. The Democratic Party, they loathe Trump, along with the liberal news media. And I became a supporter of his in his conservative views and policies. But I also desired that as president, that he would keep his abrasive statements and comments to himself. Stop tweeting, President. But he didn't listen to me. And he became more and more of a thorn in the side to the liberal agenda of politics. And I began to appreciate his conservative programs. Like I said, I understand from his own statements that he is not a Christian. For I heard him confess how he had not asked God to forgive his sins. Well, therefore, you remain in your sins, President. I don't care who you are. For me, although I appreciated his conservative stance, but I state he's not a Christian to my understanding. But many of us conservatives applauded his politics. And as the 2020 elections drew near, I found myself getting excited about his chance to be reelected. And I watched the election process as they came in. In the early returns, I was delighted. They gave me hope. I felt Trump was on his way to victory. But that changed as the votes continued to be counted, and they changed in favor of Biden. And I began to be troubled. And I began to think thoughts like, those liberals are stealing the election. And my attitude of hope changed to despair. But Trump, when Trump was leading in the early returns, I was hopeful and felt that God had given us a reprieve of probably 4 more years of conservative prosperity. And I found myself putting hope and trust into a political party. And the leader of that party was Donald Trump. And to witness the vote counting going to Biden, it was sort of a wake-up call to me, to say the least. After all, as Christian America, had we not been in prayer? We had the big prayer vigil at D.C., and I felt we had been obedient to God to pray for our nation, pray for our political leaders. And I felt like perhaps that God even owed us the election of Trump. At least in my mind, this is the way I'm thinking. When Coney Barrett was confirmed as a Supreme Court justice, I applauded that. It was good to see a conservative go to the Supreme Court. And that was a positive, to say the least. But like it or not, it appears Biden has defeated Trump. Now, that's just the way it is. Which leads me to consider, what is God doing in America? A real political wake-up call for me and other conservatives is this past election. So, this is not new to mankind. So if you would, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6, and we'll look at the first 5 verses there. Isaiah chapter 6. You there? All right. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Let me give you a little background on Uzziah. Our first verse says, in the year that Uzziah died. Uzziah was known worldwide in his day, and he brought peace, prosperity to Judah. He built a strong, powerful army for his people, and he was a king who walked after God. Uzziah ruled in Judah for 52 years, and he was a good king. Uzziah was appointed as king when he was 16 years old, after his father Amaziah had been assassinated. And when Amaziah turned away from the Lord, and a coup rose up, and they assassinated him. And that's recorded in chapter 25 and 26 of 2 Chronicles. But Uzziah, he is very, very popular with the people, and he's an overall righteous, godly king. Uzziah, he had brought prosperity, he had brought security to Judah, but now he's dead. And all the eyes of Judah are now sad and troubled, for their glorious king is dead. Do you see the similarities? And many Americans are now troubled, for our president appears to have lost the election. But Uzziah's death forced the people of Judah, especially Isaiah, to ask, what do we do now? Well, God intervened with Isaiah, and he gave Isaiah a heavenly vision. And in this vision, Isaiah is awestruck. He's overwhelmed by the glory of the Lord. Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up, and with his glory filling the temple. And there's seraphim angels, six wings, and they're crying out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And the whole earth is full of his glory. The temple is shaken by the voices of these seraphim, and the entire temple is filled with smoke. Isaiah has a response to this heavenly vision. "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When Isaiah is given this vision, this heavenly vision, he mentally has to do an about face with his world. His political world has collapsed right before him, and it had to collapse, for Isaiah needed to see the Lord. And he is now forced to look upon the glory of God. And his reaction is, God is far superior to any man or king that has ever lived. And in our day today, we can be just like the people of Judah. We can be mourning. We can be sorrowful about the election results. But God has not vacated his throne. He is still on the throne. And we are not left alone, nor have we been deserted. We're not deserted. And the vision that Isaiah saw of God changed his entire outlook on life. So let's read verses 6 through 10 of chapter 6 of Isaiah. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and he said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged.' And I heard a voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed.'" Isaiah has an angel that touches his lips from a live coal from the altar, taking away his iniquity. And now that he is in a cleansed, purified condition, Isaiah hears the voice of the Lord asking, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And as he hears this cry, a cry from the heart of the Lord. He says, here am I, send me. And for Isaiah to be willing to go and testify for God, the death of Uzziah had to happen. The good king had to die for Isaiah to become the prophet that God had called him to be. Everything looked so good when Uzziah was alive. But the eyes of the people and the hearts were on a man, not God. And millions of voters in America have seen their hope of President Trump dashed. But our God is still on the throne. Was it necessary for our president to lose, for our hearts to be lifted up to the living God? Our hearts are to be loyal, and they belong to God as believers. We do not rest our hope in a political party. God is not a Republican. And our president, although he was conservative and had good policies, he's lost. Or it appears that he's lost. But we have a message, just like Isaiah received a message. We're to go. We're to be a witness to people around us, even to fellow believers whose hearts have grown dull and their ears are heavy, their eyes are closed. And our message is, open your eyes, hear with your ears, understand in your heart, return to the Lord and be healed. As brothers and sisters, as Christian friends, our hope is in the living God, not a political party. The New Testament scriptures happened to be written during one of the most ruthless times of our emperor of Rome, and that was Nero. Nero was a barbaric, persecuting emperor. Yet they write, the New Testament writers write, to obey those in authority over us. Why would they write that? We are to be the peacemakers. We're not to be troubled by crooked or deceitful government leaders, and they're out there. So as much as depend on us, we have a message, live at peace with all men. That's our message. We're to declare that. We're to be part of making peace. And I felt it was necessary for you as well as for me to get my eyes on the Lord, not on politics. Now, I liked President Trump. I really did. I loved how he stood up to the liberal news media. I even liked some of his harsh tweets. But we're to be about the Lord. Our eyes are to be upon the Lord who is high and lifted up. And that's what we're called to. Amen? Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, give us a heart that sees and understands you. Lord, we want to be like Isaiah. We want to be sent forth with a message of love and peace, not of trouble and despair. So help us, Lord. Help us to understand the call that is upon our lives, the same call you gave Isaiah, who will go for me, you're saying to us, who will go for you? Lord, we want to be about you and your kingdom. So help us. Help us, Lord, to see you as Isaiah saw, high and lifted up. You have not deserted the throne. You're in control, and we give you thanks and glory for this. So change us, Lord, and if we have a bitter heart, give us a glad heart. If we feel like the election has been stolen, give us a peace about that, Lord. Let us be about you and your kingdom. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name.